It's a case that's been described by one writer as the most fascinating murder mystery of the 20th century, and it involves a woman with her bicycle in a village in Leicestershire. John Mortimer takes up the story.
John Mortimer presents The Trials of Marshall Hall, true stories from the archives of Britain's most celebrated criminal barrister, starring Tom Baker as Sir Edward Marshall Hall. The Case of the Green Bicycle. Introduced by John Mortimer.
Certain country lanes in Leicestershire have not changed very much in 80 years. Walking beneath high-banked hedgerows, you can count the moments of a summer afternoon on the slow ticks of a bicycle's wheel. But who would connect a sound so innocent with murder? It's Saturday, the 5th of July, 1919. A young woman named Bella Wright is bent over her bicycle, struggling with the front wheel. At first she's alone in the quiet lane, but then turns, hearing another cyclist approaching.
Are you in trouble?
Oh, where do you pop up from?
Can I help you?
You've got a spanner, you can.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Haven't you got one?
I don't think I have.
Oh, then I shall have to push it, shan't I?
You're going far?
Oh, up to my uncle's house at Golby.
Shall I walk with you?
You can if you want.
Most murders occur like Christmas within the family. There are others, the rarer sort, that occur between total strangers. Incomprehensible and apparently meaningless.
Right. Here's where my uncle lives.
Oh, okay. Well,
I shall only be 10 minutes.
Shall I wait?
Can if you want. It's a free world.
The girl stays an hour with her uncle, and when they emerge...
So... You make sure you bring the paper.
I said so.
And ask your mother when she's going to drop those apples by.
Bella, you're still here. I thought you'd gone the other way.
Who's this?
Someone I met, that's all.
Oh. Well, straight home now.
Bye, Uncle.
Sometimes the hand of death leaves clear fingerprints. Sometimes it wears gloves. A young body is lying by the side of a road. The experts examine it and can't find the cause of death. It takes a young constable to uncover what the expert fails to see.
Robinson.
I found it. It's a dead crow in the lane at Little Stretton where we found the girl's body. I'd say it died from drinking her blood.
That's what they call an imaginative reconstruction.
It gorged itself, then keeled over. It means she must have bled a lot. I thought, well, that's a lot of blood from just a fall.
Wait a minute.
So I looked around.
Robinson.
And found this bullet. Half buried in the road.
The doctor said she died accidentally. Probably a heart attack.
Yes, sir.
The doctor said the wound on the head was caused when she fell from a bicycle.
Yes, sir.
Get me the doctor's telephone number.
Yes, sir.
And Robinson.
Yes, sir.
Take this thing off my desk.
I must have overlooked it.
What?
The bullet hole. I've been very busy, you see.
You found a bullet hole?
In her head. It entered her left cheek and came out on the right.
You missed two holes, did you?
I've been very busy.
But sometimes the wheels of detection turn slowly. For 8 months, no information comes the inspector's way. Until one cold February morning...
It's a bike, sir.
Robinson.
The tow rope of a barge on the canal caught it. Pulled it up. If I rub it, look.
It's green.
Our man's bike, sir.
We got him, then. Now, these bicycles are all supposed to have identification numbers, aren't they?
On the frame, sir.
Good. Damn. It's been filed off.
There's another one, sir. On the front fork, sir. There.
Good man. We'll get on to the manufacturer, then.
I've done that, sir.
Have you? Oh, well, they'll give us the name of the shop.
I've got that, sir.
Right, well, now, the shop ought to have a list of all the, of the people who... You've done that, have you?
Yes, sir.
Get this thing off my desk, would you?
Yes?
Ronald Vivian Light.
Yes?
My name's Inspector Taylor, Leicestershire Police. Did you used to own a green bicycle, sir?
How long am I going to have to stay here?
Not long now, sir.
I came voluntarily.
So you did.
But we keep going over the
same... Tell us about your bicycle, sir.
I haven't got a bicycle. I've never had one.
There's your name in the ledger of the bicycle shop. Says you bought...
Then there's been a mistake.
Says you bought one in 1910.
Well, I didn't.
Now, someone has gone to the trouble of filing off the identification number on the frame. Who'd do that? If it was someone who'd been identified as riding along with Bella Wright on that evening, well, it could look bad, couldn't it? On the other hand, maybe that person just got very frightened.
All right. I bought the bicycle in 1910, but before I went away in the army, I sold it.
Could you give us the name of the man you sold it to, sir?
It was a long time ago. I don't remember.
Now, that looks suspicious to me. Someone who's going to tell me the truth then starts on them whoppers again.
I threw the bicycle in the canal. All right, I admit that. When I read the newspapers, I was shocked. I was frightened. I had gone out that Saturday and had met the girl. By chance. I didn't know her. We walked along together. She seemed nice. We chatted. At her uncle's, she went in. She said she'd be out in 5 minutes or so, and I took that to mean I was to wait for her, which I did. Only she was a long time, over half an hour, and I got fed up. I cycled off, but turned back.
Why'd you do that, sir?
Because I had enjoyed our conversation. As we cycled off together, her uncle called out to her, I remember.
Straight home now.
All right.
Your uncle seems rather concerned about
you. Oh, him. Old Nanny Goat.
We cycled on for about 2 miles, I suppose. Then there came a fork in the road. I was going to Leicester, but she turned the other way.
That's not the way to Leicester.
Happen I'm not going to Leicester, then.
Oh, I see.
You look sorry.
Do I?
You do. Are you?
I suppose I am. Well, I suppose we must say goodbye.
I suppose we must. You come cycling by here again, you might find me one day.
I'd like that.
Bye, then.
And that was the last I saw of her.
So you threw the bicycle in the canal?
Yes. Oh, it was stupid. I should have come to you straight away.
And you didn't kill her?
Absolutely not.
Right. You see, I got this Constable Robinson here, gets ideas. I've tried to cure him of it, but he will have them. So he goes back to the canal and he does some dredging of his own. Comes up. With this. Know what this is?
It's a holster.
A pistol holster, to be exact, with a belt attached and some bullets still in it. Where'd you find them, Robinson?
In the canal, sir. Right next to where the bicycle had been.
Right next to the bicycle, you see. Now then, Mr. Light, what can you tell me about that?
Father, what are you doing?
Fishing.
You're shooting fish.
Got one in my sights. Got it.
You can't do that.
Eleanor, don't shout.
You can't. It's cruel.
It's sport.
For whom? You're shooting fish in a pond.
It's only perch.
Is it fair?
Fair? Eleanor.
I know what you're going to say.
Where did you get this idea from?
Don't insult me, please, Daddy.
Where did it come from and what next? Universal suffrage for frogs?
Oh!
Sir Edward?
Mostyn, you're my rescuer.
Sorry to interrupt your holiday, sir.
What have you got there?
R versus Ronald Vivian Light.
Ah, here. Hold this, will you?
Well, I'm not very good with guns.
Take it. I'll have a look at it. Ah.
Are you interested in taking the case, sir?
Where's it being held?
Leicester. Of course, if it's too far...
No. It isn't far enough.
Sir?
Careful with that.
Oh! My God, I've shot...
one of my prize carp.
I'm so sorry.
No, 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 fine shooting. Though I think we'll keep it from Eleanor.
In Leicester Castle, Ronald Light awaits his trial. From his barred window, Light looks down on the canal in which he'd hoped to hide his troubles.
Mr. Light, is the holster yours?
No, sir.
And the bullets neither?
No.
The prosecution is working hard to prove that they are.
They're not mine.
Our case is this. You went for a bicycle ride. You met a young woman, Bella Wright. You kept her company for a few hours, then parted and you went home. That was the last time you saw her. When you subsequently read of her death, you became frightened. You knew the police were looking for you, and you didn't want them to find you.
I was terrified.
And to this end, you filed off the identification number on your bicycle and threw it into the canal.
Yes, I wish I'd...
And you are denying that the holster and bullets found near the bicycle are yours.
Yes.
Are you sure you want to say that, Mr. Light?
Yes.
Bit quiet here, isn't it, sir?
Leicestershire is not a pushy county, Mostyn, but lovely for that, don't you think so?
Oh, I'm a city boy myself, sir.
Oh, yes, of course.
Will Light go in the witness box?
He can't. He'll perjure himself.
You think he's lying about the holster?
I do. Yet if I don't put him in the box, the judge will instruct the jury to ask themselves why.
What are you going to do then, Sir Edward?
Mostyn, I want you to go back to the prison.
Me?
You can do it. Keep at him, eh?
The florid old gentleman in the witness box is Bella Wright's uncle, a Mr. Measures, who now faces the friendly fire of the Attorney General, Sir Gordon Hewitt.
Approximately at what time did your niece arrive at your house, Mr. Measures?
About 7:30.
Was she alone?
No, there was a man with her.
Do you see that man in court today?
Yes, sir. It's him, the prisoner.
And how long did she stay with you?
An hour.
And what happened when she left?
Well, when she came out, she said there was something wrong with her front wheel. So I took the wheel off for her. It were only a puncture. I fixed it, and I was putting it back on when the prisoner cycled up and they spoke.
What did the prisoner say?
I beg your pardon?
What did the prisoner say to your niece?
Oh, he said, Bella, I thought you'd gone the other way.
He called her Bella?
Yes, and they rode off together.
On friendly terms?
Oh, yes.
No further questions?
I don't understand, sir.
What?
Why does Hewitt look so pleased with himself?
Because he's linked Light with the dead girl.
On friendly terms?
For which read lovers, and lovers have passions, and passions kill. But we shall see. Did your niece flirt, Mr. Measures?
No, she was a good girl.
I'm sure she was. But sometimes young women may develop overly familiar ways with comparative strangers. It's a manner, and it's innocent, but it may give an impression of friendship when there's none.
Well, I couldn't say. They seem friendly to me.
In a statement, my client says that he didn't know your niece, did not even know her name. And yet you say you heard him call her by her name, Bella. Is that right?
Yes, I did.
Bella, I thought you had gone the other way. Is that what you heard him say?
Yes.
And you're sure those were his exact words?
I'm positive.
How near to the prisoner were you when you heard him say these words?
How near?
I mean, how far away from you was he?
Oh, well, I'm not exactly sure.
About as far as I am now?
No, further.
I'll move, Mr. Measures. I'll move down the aisle of the court. I want you to stop me when you think I have reached the correct place. Was it about here?
Bit further.
About here?
Further back. A few feet.
About here, then?
Yes. There.
Good. Now, Mr. Measures, I want you to tell the court what was your niece's name.
My niece's name?
Was it alone?
Yes.
You're sure? Her name was Alone.
Yes, of course I'm sure. Her name was Bella. Bella! Why do you keep saying it?
No further questions.
The pear-shaped Dr. Williams, the medical expert, comes into the box. He's known for the pride he takes in his own observations, together with a certain reluctance ever to change his mind.
Dr. Williams, you have examined the wounds on the deceased's head.
I have.
These wounds are an entrance and exit point for the same bullet.
Yes.
Which trajectory did the path of the bullet follow?
It was an upward trajectory.
How far away from the girl would you say the weapon was when fired?
Estimate between 5 and 7 feet.
What caliber was the bullet?
.455.
If fired without impediment, how far would you expect this bullet to travel?
I don't know. 1,000 yards, perhaps?
I have here a small section of skin. It is skin taken from the deceased girl's head, and it bears a bullet hole. Gentlemen, I draw your attention to the size of this hole. Doctor, do you not think it likely that a .455 caliber bullet fired virtually at point-blank range, at tremendous velocity, and starting on a flight of 1,000 yards, would cause a far larger exit wound?
Not necessarily.
What? What did you say? Surely the woman's head would have been blown off, Doctor, don't you think? I mean, don't you think that likely? Instead, we have an exit wound into which I cannot push a silver pencil. Must we not conclude, if this bullet has caused this wound, it was fired perhaps 1,000 yards away. This was a bullet at the end of its flight, not at its beginning.
I have not felt it necessary to draw that conclusion.
Have you not? Then how do you get out of this dilemma? A bullet going in an upward direction at high velocity, we are agreed on that,
yes,
is found no more than 6 feet away from the body.
Now, my theory is that the woman was shot whilst lying on the road, and the bullet went through her head into the ground.
It was not buried in the ground, was it? It was found on the surface.
It struck the harcourt and rebounded onto the surface, in my opinion.
I see. Would you agree with me on this point, Doctor? If a bullet was fired without further resistance than the girl's head, it would be absurd to suppose that it would be found only 6 yards away.
Yes.
You would agree?
In that case, yes.
Marshall Hall knows that there's no substitute for theatrical presentation. In a case where the jury are being asked to speculate between a range of more or less likely possibilities, they may well choose the one they see demonstrated dramatically. And that is why this early morning, before the court sits, he visits a rifle range in Leicester.
Sir Edward?
Oh, Mustin, you brought my magnifying glass?
As you ask, sir.
And the penknife?
Here.
Thank you. Should be able to dig it out of this. A glass, please. Thank you. Oh, good.
May I ask what you're looking for,
Mustin,
sir?
All will be revealed, as they say. You spoke to Light?
Yes.
Any success?
No, sir. He's still insisting the holster isn't his.
Go back again. Impress on him if he tells the truth we can save him. If not, even this bullet won't be enough. Mustin, go.
The prosecution's first witness that morning is a small man in a green tweed suit. He's Mr. Clark, a gunsmith of Leicester, another expert.
Do you shoot, Mr. Clark?
Yes.
So do I. I went shooting this morning, as a matter of fact. You know the range at Leicester?
Yes.
Good range, isn't it?
Yes.
They loaned me one of their rifles, and I asked for some bullets, .455 caliber. Is that the same caliber as the bullet found on the road near to the dead girl?
Yes.
This bullet here is one I fired. Can you see the mark on it?
No.
Here, borrow my magnifying glass, Mr. Clark. Do you see the mark on that bullet?
I do now.
Have you seen marks like that before?
Yes.
And how are they caused?
By rifling in the barrel of the gun that fired it.
In the barrel of the gun that fired it. And what effect does rifling have?
It would increase the range of the bullet.
By how much?
rifling in a barrel enormously increases...
By how much?
It would double it, at least.
Whether fired from a pistol or a rifle?
Yes.
Now, I will take my bullet back, and I will ask you to direct your attention to the bullet found in the road. You told my learned friend that there were three marks on the bullet.
Yes.
One mark caused by striking the road, one by striking and passing through the head, and one by...
A horse's hoof.
A horse, treading on the bullet as it lay in the road.
Yes.
Would you look closely at that mark? Please use my magnifying glass. Isn't it identical to the mark on my bullet? The mark which we agreed was caused by rifling? Mr. Clark?
Similar.
Very similar?
Yes.
We are saying that this bullet found in the road was fired from a rifled barrel. Would you expect a bullet fired from 6 or 7 feet from a rifled barrel to end up no more than 10 feet away?
It depends what it is hit en route.
In this case, a head.
I would expect it to end up further away.
Have you ever seen a human being who's been shot at a distance of 7 feet with a service revolver?
No.
I suggest the effect of such a bullet on the skull of a human being is almost to blow the side of the head off.
Well, it depends on the velocity.
Of course it does. Supposing the shot to have been fired some distance away, and that in its flight it came into contact with a fence, a tree, or something else, and then struck the young woman on the roadway. Would you expect to find that bullet within a few feet of where the person was shot?
Yes, it is possible.
We are discussing possibilities. And let us suppose something else. That bullet, found by Constable Robinson on the roadway, was not the bullet that killed Bella Wright. Isn't that also possible?
Unlikely.
But possible.
Yes.
Sir.
What is it, Mostyn?
I'm sorry I'm interrupting your meal, sir, but I've just come from the prison.
And?
Blight wants you to put him in the box.
But I can't. I've explained to him.
I know, sir.
Well, tell him. Unless he admits...
He does.
What?
The holster. The bullets. He says they're his.
To admit that your client has been lying is a high-risk strategy. Common sense tells us that a man who was disposed to lie once may have picked up the habit. Ronald Light is in the witness box, for all the world an average citizen. The jury must see his dilemma as their own, and so Marshal Hall must ask the questions they would ask.
We have heard your story, Mr. Light, your meeting with the girl, the short time you spent in her company, and your parting from her on the road to Leicester. But something the jury will find hard to understand. Why did you not go to the police immediately after you read of her death? You are innocent. You had nothing to fear, surely.
I was absolutely dazed about the whole thing. I could not think clearly about the matter, and I could not make up my mind what to do.
When did you first learn of her death?
On the Tuesday evening, I read about it in the newspaper. That was the first time I knew her name was Bella Wright.
I repeat... Why did you not give information to the police and say you were the man with the green bicycle?
Because everyone had apparently jumped to the conclusion that the man on the green bicycle had murdered the girl.
Was the holster found near the bicycle in the river yours?
Yes.
And the bullets found in the belt?
Mine.
Which you denied were yours?
Yes.
Along with the bicycle?
Yes.
And which you threw into the canal in order to deceive the police?
Yes.
And you realized... that had you come forward, you could have put the police off a false scent and enabled them to look for the right one.
I see that now.
You do?
I see that now. I did not make up my mind deliberately not to come forward. I was so astounded and frightened that I kept on hesitating, and in the end I did nothing at all.
Did you think your story at the time would not be believed?
I did not think so, no.
You acted out of fear, didn't you?
Yes. A very great fear.
Surprised at the result, sir?
No. Once they'd seen him, that he was decent enough, if foolish. I'm never surprised at the jury's ability to understand.
How do you think she died, then?
I don't think that bullet in the road had anything to do with it. I think it was an accident. Perhaps half a mile away, a farmer in a field fires at something. The bullet missed,
and destroyed a young life.
And now, sir, home. Back to London.
The comfort of the city, eh, must it?
I've booked us on the 2 o'clock train, sir.
You go ahead. There's a shop in Leicester I need to visit.
Daddy!
Eleanor.
I'm so glad to see you. I'm sorry we argued. I hate you going away like that.
Oh, never mind about that. I've brought something. Here. All wrapped up. A surprise.
Oh, no.
What?
What is it? A new shotgun. Is that your idea of a surprise?
There. Well, what do you think?
A fishing rod?
Yes. Thought I'd give the shooting a bit of a rest, eh? Try another sport. A change.
Oh, Daddy. Thank you.
But, yes, now, how do you get this thing to work?
Ronald Light wrote to Marshall Hall as soon as he was released and had returned home. Ending the letter, "I shall always remember you with deepest gratitude." Marshall Hall's reply is perhaps characteristic. "May I, in all kindness and great sincerity, express the hope that you will realise that life is a serious thing and that work and self-denial are the only means to happiness. Yours very faithfully, Edward Marshall Hall."
John Mortimer presented The Trials of Marshall Hall, dramatised by Michael Butt and directed by Michael Fox, with Tom Baker as Sir Edward Marshall Hall and featuring Neil Swettenham, David Allister, Nicky Rainsford, Jonathan Taffler, John Hartley and James Taylor. The Trials of Marshall Hall is a Fiction Factory production for Radio 2.